Crossroad International Church podcast. We're so glad you joined us. It is our prayer that God will use this message to bring comfort to those who are hurting, give hope to those who find themselves in what seems to be a hopeless situation, and to encourage the one who is struggling through a difficult season of life. For more sermon audio, resources, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit cickuwait.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Share with you just a topic of growing up in Christ or Christian maturity. John chapter 17, verses 20 to 23. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their words, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, and they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Some translations said that they may be mature in one, in unity. I want to talk just a few moments about Christian maturity, that we need to grow up in Christ. And we do that in several ways. First, we grow up in as Christ is formed in us. We'll look a bit of this in Galatians 4:19 later in our Galatians series. But Galatians 4:19 says, "My little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you." I hope that is every one of our desire, is for Christ to be formed in us, for us to be more like Jesus day by day. And then Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16, and says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come into the unity of faith, of the knowledge of Christ, of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." See, we do not grow in Christ, and we do not come into Christian maturity in a vacuum on our own. God uses people to mature us. That's why it's important for us to meet together like this in the body of Christ. That's why we have life groups where you can meet together one-on-one, because God uses each person to help another person to grow. Proverbs 27:17 says, "Iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of a friend." How many of you have ever gotten in church, maybe even here, or in your life group, and maybe there was some little bit of tension or a little bit of friction between a couple of people in the group? Well, that's okay. You know, iron sharpens iron. If you're going to go cut wood, it's good to have a sharp axe. Well, you don't sharpen the axe by chopping wood. You sharpen the axe by putting a file to it, iron against iron. God uses us, one another, to help each other grow in Christ. One of the things I've noticed about me, probably not you, I have some blind spots. If you don't think so, ask my wife. There are things that I don't see that I need other people to help me see that are not things that are pleasing to God. So we all have blind spots, so we need others to help us to grow. Then in turn, I'm able then to share with other people what I've learned through this growing process. How many of your parents? Amen. How many of you experimented on your first kid? Every parent, because you never did it before, okay? But hopefully you learned some things with the first one to help the second and the third or the fourth or fifth or however many you have. And then we learn from other parents. See, we can attract people to CIC with our programs. We can attract people because of the worship we have. We attract a lot of people because of our children's ministry. But you don't retain people through programs. You retain people through relationships. As we get to know one another. I've had several people, new people, that have come and told me several weeks later, you know, I came in for the very first time and I had four or five people come up and ask me, huh, you know, are you new? Can I help you? Is there anything I can do for you? Do you need rides anywhere? Do you have an apartment? Do you have a car? You know, whatever. And they said, you guys are some of the most helpful people I've ever met. And see, it's those relationships that help us to mature in Christ, and we need each other. Amen. And then we also mature in the Word of God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect or mature in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. See, Dell and I, our job is to share the Word of God with you to help you mature in Christ to be more like Jesus. It is my prayer, and I know it's Dell's desire as well, that every week when you come, that you are challenged from the Word of God to be more like Jesus. But it's not enough just to hear it from here. We have to get in the Word. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And then a very challenging scripture to me, I took it out of this message twice and then put it back in because I didn't want to share it with you because it's so challenging to me personally. So it's back in. So if you don't need it, that's okay. I need it. Is that okay if your pastor needs to be preached to as well? 1 Corinthians 14:20. Brethren, do not be children in understanding, however in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. This challenges me that I need to make sure that I know what's in this book So in my understanding of God and of God's word, I'm not a child anymore. Because in the scripture we read a while ago, it says that children are tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. But Jesus wants us to be mature. We need physical food. I don't know about you, but I love to eat. Anybody else? And as you can see, sometimes I do more of it than I should. But do you know, just as like our body needs food, our spirit needs food? Now, I fast from time to time. We used to do 21-day fast every year, just water for 21 days. And you can do that and it won't kill you. It's actually healthy and it's good for you. But if you fast all the time, someone's going to be calling me and say, "Hey, Pastor, could you do so-and-so's funeral?" True? Now, what would happen to you if you only ate lunch every Friday? That's the only meal you ever ate. For me, after 4 or 5 months, I would probably still be okay. What are you laughing at, Rick? Yeah, I would eat a lot on Friday, but I think I could probably handle it for a while. But after a while, I would get weak. I wouldn't be able to function, and eventually I would die of starvation because I only eat one meal a week. The point of that story is, I hope this is not the only spiritual meal you eat every week. Come on now. Sometimes we're not eating the Word of God and we wonder why am I falling into this sin, or why is this not happening? Why does it seem like the ceiling is brass when I pray? It's because we're starving ourselves of spiritual food. And then we mature in difficulty. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 to 18 says, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are unseen are eternal." There's a divine purpose in every problem we face. Think about Joseph's pit, Moses' desert, David's cave, Jonah's whale. In all of those difficulties, God used those difficulties to build character and bring maturity in those men's lives. And God does the same thing for you and I. And what's exciting is Romans 8:28 says God will always give us a way of escape. He'll never put more on us than we can handle. But in every situation, God is with us. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says that he's with us and gives us a way of escape. Excuse me, not Romans 8:28. See, God allows difficulties to test our faith and develop our character. Iron sharpens iron. I've noticed in my life sometimes that person at work that I prayed that, "God, if you could just get rid of them, my life would be a whole lot easier." Now, I know I'm the only one that ever thinks like that. But I've got good company because the disciples thought like that. They said, oh, God, let's just rain fire down from heaven on these guys that don't think like us. But most of the time, those people that I want God to get rid of, God sent them there for me. Because he's trying to work something out inside of me in my attitude or the way I see people, the way I treat people, the way I deal with people, to where when I change, they don't look so bad. Now, husbands, listen to this real closely. This will help you. For years after we got married, I would pray for God to change something in my wife. And every time I did that, God would show me about 10 or 15 things that I needed to change. So guys, if you don't want God to point out your faults, don't ask him to change your wife. Okay, that's just some good advice there. And it's the same with other people. Oh God, I'm dealing with this person. If they would just change and if they would just see everything the way I see it, it would make it so much easier for me. Well, maybe God wants to change the way you see things to do some things more like them. Amen? So God does allow difficulty. And then lastly, we mature over time. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. See, under the old covenant, only Moses ascended to the mountain and had fellowship with God. Only the high priest went inside of the Holy of Holies once a year. And you remember the story, this scripture in Corinthians is talking about Moses going up the mountain. He's in God's glory, his face shines, and he puts a veil over it. And there's some arguments of why did he put the veil, because the people didn't want to look at him with God's glory. Or did he put the veil because the glory was starting to fade and he didn't want people to know that he wasn't quite as close with God as he was on the mountain? I don't know. But it says here that you and I, under the new covenant, we don't have to veil ourselves. The veil that was over the eyes of the Jews that had them blinded to the things of God has been removed. And you and I can go face to face with God Almighty and see him. Amen. God is there and he changes us from glory to glory. Some translation says from one level of glory to another level of glory. It doesn't happen instantaneously. It takes time. We can never encounter God and remain unchanged. Beholding his glory affects our transformation as we are changed into the likeness of Jesus. Let me give you a scary thought. For some people in your circle of influence, you are the only Jesus they will ever see. So my question is, what kind of picture of Jesus do they see when they look at your life? You know, when I think of that, it brings chill bumps to think that I have that responsibility that people look at my life and they see my God. They see Jesus through the way I live and the way I treat them. Am I acting like a child and being tossed with every wind that blows through where I work? Or am I standing on the solid rock, standing on the foundation of Christ, and not willing to bend and not willing to compromise what this word says so that I fit in with the crowd? Amen. And we change over time. It's my prayer that you are more like Jesus today than you were when you got saved. But I'll have to confess to you, I remember when we first got saved, they had to chase us out of church. I can remember at times we would be a group fellowshipping at church so long they'd cut the lights off. And that meant we're getting ready to lock the door. If you don't want to spend the night in here, you better leave. Then after a while, you get to where you're not staying like that, but you back into your parking spot so that your car's ready to take off. And as soon as amen is said, you're out the door in your car to go do whatever it is that now has taken priority over fellowshipping and being with the people of God. And I found that I have to fight that all the time. But daily, as we're in His Word, daily as we're fellowshipping with Him, we are growing in the things of Christ from glory to glory, and God wants us to mature in Him. Would you bow your heads with me for prayer? Father, we just come to you and we thank you, Lord, that you really do want us to mature and to grow up in Christ. Father, you don't want us to be babes in the Word, but you want us to grow from glory to glory. Father, from one level to another level with you, and just to keep becoming more mature in the things of Christ. Father, we thank you that as Christ is formed in us, that it's more of Him and less of us. That, Father, as we get into your Word, that your Word takes control of our lives. Father, even in the difficulties we face, help us to see what are you teaching us through these times that is maturing us and helping us to grow, that we can then help others. And Father, help us ever to be patient and not to look for instant gratification and instant success. But Father, we know that day by day, when we're in your presence, that we grow into the things of God. And Father, we give you the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.